President Trump is heading towards his 100th day in office tomorrow at full throttle. Yesterday, the president said this about North Korea.
Well, there's a chance that we could end up having a major, major conflict with North Korea. Absolutely.
But his Secretary of State has shifted gears down a bit. Rex Tillerson told NPR that the administration is eager for a diplomatic solution and direct negotiations with the North Korean dictator. On the domestic front this week, on Capitol Hill, lawmakers who are facing a midnight deadline passed a measure to extend government funding for a week. They could not agree, though, on an extension that would last a few months.
Well, let's bring in our roundtable to take a look at all of this. Jose Diaz-Balart, Telemundo and NBC News anchor. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how are you?
Good. And Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Pleased to be with you.
And want to start with you. He made those comments, the president did, about North Korea to Reuters. North Korea, a major, major conflict. They have nuclear weapons. So does the U.S. Did this rattle?
I think the intention was to rattle. And I think when you look at the actions this week, hauling all the senators to North Korea, making this comment.
To talk about North Korea.
It's about sending messages. And I feel like there's been so much frustration in getting through to the North Korean regime. The Trump administration is scrambling the deck. And I think the message that they're sending, that they're not going to let this fester, that they don't plan to hand this crisis off to the next president, that is a major tonal shift. And it is bringing things to a head. So we're seeing some acceleration and deceleration that I think is intended to penetrate the Chinese, who have a lot of influence in North Korea, and also the North Korean regime itself.
And how about Tillerson's comments about, you know, perhaps talks? I mean, this is something that's usually done through a third party. Could this be Trump's Nixon in China moment? I'm trying to picture Trump and the head of North Korea sitting down together. But does anyone think that's a possibility?
I think it's a zigzag, and I think part of the zigzag is to try to conflict, even inside the administration, send these different messages.
Yeah. Jose?
Yeah, I also think that that Tillerson said no conversations until the process began of demilitarization or at least denuclearization.
Well, that's not happening.
And I think that I don't know if that's going to happen. I will tell you that President Obama had North Korea at the top of his agenda as far as difficult situations around the world that – had to be dealt with. I think that, you know, publicly he didn't ever state it as such, but I think that behind the scenes, North Korea was probably the number one concern of the Obama administration vis-a-vis foreign policy. And I think that they let President Trump know that.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I know this will come as news to you, but we are coming up on President Trump's first 100 days in office tomorrow.
Get out.
So I wonder if you can talk about his comments, specifically kind of wistful comments to Reuters in an interview yesterday. Let's hear them.
Well, I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of a, I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life. I like to work, so that's not a problem. But this is actually more work.
Rick, what do you make of his words?
Astounded that he's astounded. The presidency is a big job. I think President Trump has been very candid at times about what his shifts in policy have been and also his shift in mindset around the presidency. And that's really striking. I've even talked to Republicans today that are saying, seriously? You thought this would be less work? You ran for the presidency thinking it would be an easier time? Plus, he's had those vacations down at Mar-a-Lago. But clearly, this has been a wake-up call in so many ways. And I think it actually parallels the strategy shifts and the policy shifts that we've seen from this White House. He has learned a lot on the job, including just what the job entails.
Okay.
I think he's surprised and he's reflecting still the surprise that he won.
Yeah. Well, that is either unsettling or refreshing, depending on how you look at it. We want to take a look at what we've learned about Michael Flynn this week. Now, he was, of course, Trump's fired national security advisor, but he was also the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency when he was forced out by President Obama back in 2014. And at that time, he was reportedly warned by the Pentagon to disclose any financial ties with foreign governments. Now, this week, we're learning he did not disclose a big payment for a 2015 speech that he gave in Russia, where we all saw the pictures of him sitting at that table. But yesterday, Press Secretary Sean Spicer blamed the Obama administration's vetting for this problem, not catching that payment. And in so doing, Spicer revealed that was the only vetting that Flynn had before joining the Trump team. Let's listen.
Every individual came into this White House, either applied for a security clearance or had one.
And so why would you rerun a background check on someone who is the head of the department, I mean, the Defense Intelligence Agency, that had and did maintain a high-level security clearance?
Rick, you take this first, because I know ABC's reporting on this. Is that a damning statement about how loose the Trump administration is, or is that how it works?
It's a nonsensical statement from where I sit and talking to people about how the process works. Yes, there is a continuity that engages in background checks, but keep in mind, President Obama dismissed Michael Flynn from his job at the Defense Intelligence Agency. He only came back into public life because President Trump brought him on the campaign and then hired him as the national security advisor. And the idea that there was no vetting beyond the word of the Obama administration that say this was an okay guy and everything had checked out, this is deflection. And I think you keep in mind, Michael Flynn is President Trump's problem. He is not going to do away with that. He's the one who put him in that job of immense responsibility. And ultimately, the Trump administration will be held to account for his actions far more than a previous administration.
Yeah, you know, Ed O'Keefe in today's Washington Post has a great article. The headline is, in its first 100 days in power, the GOP scrambles to learn how to govern. I think in these 100 days, President Trump has been scrambling to learn how to govern. I mean, how can this be the threshold of definition? Well, the Obama people should have vetted him. And how do you have in the State Department still, you know, dozens of ambassadors yet to be nominated, right, undersecretaries yet to be nominated? You know, it's like, when is it that the government will take shape and some order put, when you have, you know, someone like General Flynn being told, well, that's Obama's, you know, problem, not ours. Trusted that.
It looked as though there was going to be something taking shape regarding NAFTA this week. There were dramatic moves on the trade agreement that a large part of Trump's base dislikes very much. President Trump was set to announce he was going to pull out of NAFTA. He then got a call, apparently, from the president of Mexico and the prime minister of Canada.
I like them very much. I respect their countries very much. The relationship is very special. And I said, I will hold on the termination. Let's see if we can make it a fair deal.
The Washington Post is painting the president's change of heart as the kind of tension between Donald Trump, the populist, versus Donald Trump, the pragmatic businessman. I wonder, maybe, Jose, what's the future looking like for the trade agreement? And what do you make of what happened this week regarding NAFTA?
Boy, it's just another really odd way of dealing with big issues like this. And I'm thinking, for example, of, to bring another one in, the president's insistence on that the wall would be built in the border. First, that Mexico was going to pay for it. Then we were going to put the down payment out of it. Mexico is going to pay for it later. And then now saying, well, you know, let's talk about that in September to get that 1 week CR. The same way with NAFTA. I mean, he was over and over again talking about NAFTA as being a disaster. Now he says he gets a call from President Enrique Peña Nieto, whose popularity in Mexico is under 20%. I think the only other president with lower popularity than President Trump is Enrique Peña Nieto. And now he's willing to see if NAFTA can be solved or not. I don't know. I just don't know what it is that finally we're going to see on this and so many other issues.
Well, say with the wall, for instance, talk radio host Rush Limbaugh blasted President Trump for not insisting that the money for the wall be in this temporary spending bill that's passed to fund the government. Let's listen.
I'm very, very troubled to have to pass this on, and I hope this is not the case, but it looks like, from here, right here, right now, it looks like President Trump is caving.
But, you know, Rick Klein, his support is not. We got that number this week. 96% of Trump voters are still sticking by him.
Yeah, and that was in the ABC Washington Post polling. And it is astounding for all the chaos and the back and forth and even the broken promises. This is just a small glimpse of it. And you include NAFTA in that, the Export-Import Bank, and a long list of changes. People are on board for the broad idea of Trump. And what I've been astounded by in his first 100 days is that he has accomplished very little, but he has done a whole lot. And there's a broader sense of him taking on the system that seems to resonate with his supporters, regardless of the frustrations and regardless of the policy flip-flops that have come to define the media coverage.
Well, you say done very little. You know, some would point to his executive orders or the fact that he did get that Supreme Court nominee seated. Jose?
I just think that what Rick's saying about the policy flip-flops is really what is undermining a lot of the issues. He has had Gorsuch victories. He has done a lot of executive actions since the 20th of January, the most important ones tied up in federal courts, in magistrates throughout from Hawaii, that weird Pacific place, as some in the administration have referred to it as, an island in the Pacific, or you know, even now the sanctuary cities issue. I think that it's interesting to see how the reality has clashed with Trump's rhetoric when he was a candidate on immigration and the border wall. I think that it's, for example, there's been a huge, substantial drop in the border crossing since President Trump took office. I mean, what, 70% less, Rick? The border crossing since President Trump took office. So there are real opportunities to, you know, shift the conversation, immigration reform and other issues right now. But I don't know if that's what's going to happen.
Jose Diaz-Balart, Telemundo and NBC News anchor. Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, helping us take a look at the week that was. And we didn't get to the question we'll bring up next week. Where is Kellyanne Conway? But both of you, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Donde está Kellyanne?